Luke chapter 2, of course, is where we are tonight. The Christmas story we just read was from Luke chapter 2. And I wanted to go a little bit farther into the chapter, kind of down near a few days after Christ's birth, to a special man that we're introduced to. And all of you know who that is. It's the older man who was waiting in the temple. And it was the man Simeon that the Lord had spoken to earlier. And I wanted to read in chapter 2, verse number 25, and read a few verses here if you have your Bibles. If not, just listen. Chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Here is this man, Simeon, waiting, as the Bible says here, for the consolation of Israel. That idea of consolation is the idea of encouragement, solace, those kind of things, to come along beside and give comfort. Very similar word in the Greek to the word parakletos, which is the Holy Spirit. I thought back to Isaiah chapter 40, where it says, the prophet says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to them, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The comfort that the people of Israel had been looking for all these years, and it wasn't really a political comfort that maybe some of them thought, we're going to get some respite from the Romans, or we're going to finally be able to have our own freedom in our land here that God's promised us forever and forever. But with Simeon, it was a different kind of comfort that he was looking for. It was a comfort that had been promised way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that there was going to be one coming who would bruise the head of the serpent. That promise way back in Genesis chapter 3 that had unfolded throughout the different chapters of the Old Testament in the different types and shadows and the different stories and the prophecies, all pointing to the revelation of this one, Jesus Christ. He was to be the comfort, the consolation, the solace for the people. Now the nation, again, probably viewed it from the perspective of political things, but there was a very serious spiritual situation here. And as it says here, Simeon was told by the Holy Ghost that he would not die or would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now here's people in the Jewish nation that have been waiting for the Messiah for so many years, waiting and waiting and hoping that he would come. And of course we know that John chapter 1 tells us he came into his own received him not. But here Simeon was privileged to be told by the very Spirit of God that this was the Christ. And I wanted to look at just three brief things tonight in verses 29 through 32, of what did Simeon say about this young little infant, this young little child, Jesus? First of all, in verse 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The word there in the Greek for seeing, there's several different words for sight, but this one is a very specific word that means to have insight into something. We know, as we read in the New Testament, that the Holy Spirit of God is the one who illuminates our hearts as we read the Scripture. And He gives us insight into the Word of God. Well, the Holy Spirit had given insight that He saw this is not just a baby, but He saw beyond the physical thing that was there, a young baby, and He saw all the way through with insight that this is something greater. This is salvation. This is deliverance. This is what God's promised for all of these years, and not some delivery politically, but a delivery spiritually. And this is the salvation. It's the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw this, and you know, just today, many people have the opportunity to see the same thing that Simeon saw. The Holy Spirit of God working in people's heart to point them to Christ, and they see this is salvation. Perhaps you recall the day that you saw Christ that way. He's not just some, you know, man that lived on the earth and did good deeds. He is salvation. The very person of Christ embodies the opportunity of salvation for us, even to this very hour. John chapter 20, verse 29, I've often thought of this verse as what Christ told Thomas. I know many times we kind of get on Thomas a little bit or kind of say, well, Thomas didn't have faith and all these things. Well, we're just as guilty as Thomas. We many times don't have faith either, and we like to see things to believe as well. But what did Jesus say to Thomas? He said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now here's Simeon. He got to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the insight of the Holy Spirit, he knew this was salvation. And John says, as records the words of Christ later on, that blessed are those who have not seen. None of us in this room have seen the Lord Jesus Christ coming down, maybe right into this room and sit with us. We haven't seen him in the body that he took on and things. And blessed are those that have not seen, but yet still believe. It takes faith to see this is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the embodiment of salvation, the deliverer that came for our sins. But then verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. We see in verse number 30, we see the Son of God, that second person of the Trinity. He is the salvation. But now we see in verse 31, we see God the Father. What has he done? He has prepared the way before all people. God's great eternal plan, his eternal counsels to appoint Christ as the person of salvation. That all was done by God the Father, knowing, of course, that man could not save himself. And God the Father, for all of the time of ages that we have here on the earth that we have recorded, providentially unfolding the plan of redemption. Simeon acknowledging Christ, the person of salvation, but the Father is the director. He's directing redemption. He allowed things to unfold a very specific way to come to this point in history where the Son of God is revealed, where he takes on flesh. He's incarnated. And now man has the opportunity. But then thirdly, the last thing here. Yes, the Father, he is the director. The Son of God is the salvation. But the Holy Spirit is the one that enlightens, that propagates and sends forth the truth of salvation. Did you notice verse 32? A light to lighten. Kind of a shocker here maybe to Mary and Joseph as they were listening to Simeon. Where are they? They're in the heartland of Israel with all the Jews. And what does Simeon say? A light to lighten the Jews? No. He says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He included Israel and the glory that Christ is. And yet the kingdom to come, maybe they were looking for it then, but it was going to be the cross first, then the glory of their kingdom later. But notice, it kind of struck me as I read this passage that Simeon talks about the Gentiles, something that the Jews didn't want to think about. I mean, they couldn't even stand the Samaritans that were the mixed breeds just right above them to the north. And so to think of the Gentiles and that redemption is going to be a light through this person to everybody. I often tell the students many times when we talk about salvation or redemption, to think that God opened up salvation to us. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. And then we could have been born anywhere in this world, in the darkest jungle of Africa, or in some little tiny village in the middle of the mountains of the Amazon or something. Or we could have been born anywhere. But God put us in a place through His unfolding plan that we could have the opportunity to have what Simeon had, to see that person and believe. Now again, we haven't seen him physically, but the whole point is wrapped up so beautifully here. Yes, we haven't seen him physically, but we've been given a light right here, the Word of God. And we can see the same thing Simeon saw. Isn't that awesome that the Lord would do that? That we can see the same thing. We can see this person of salvation, and we could come to Christ in belief and faith and trust in Him, even to the Gentiles. I thought of a few verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. A light to the Gentiles. This I want to read a couple other passages. One of them is in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, these are familiar verses. That at that time ye were without Christ. Well, that's the Gentiles, aren't we? He's talking to the Ephesians, the Greeks, not the non-Jews. We can put ourselves right in that category. We were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Boy, that well, he's speaking harshly about the Gentiles. You know, he's being a bully and hurting their self-esteem here. But from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. Boy, that's us. Having no hope. That's the Gentiles. And without God in the world. But don't you love the next word? But. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Boy, that's us. We have no hope. No hope. We're just separated from the commonwealth of Israel. We're just kind of off. There's those Greeks out there. But God said, here's Christ Jesus. And what Simeon said, a light to the Gentiles. And we can be made nigh to God. Well, that's reconciliation. Isn't that a wonderful picture? That we're strangers. We don't even deserve to be in the same area. We're the lowlifes. You know, sometimes we need to, I thought of what Bill read there. Well, we live in the most selfish society ever. And what Bill was reading about was about being non-selfish. You ever consider what you really are? We're down here. That's what Pastor was saying this morning. Abasement. Lower ourselves. And we get upset. Oh, how dare the Bible call me what I really am? I'm pretty good after all. No, we have no hope and without God in the world. But Christ, that person that Simeon saw as that little baby, the one in whom we should believe. One other passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just listen if you're not there. I love these verses. They're such a blessing to my heart to think of what God's done for us through that infant, that Savior, the very person of God. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, the Gentiles, he's talking to the Corinthians, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Now, what are we going to do with that knowledge? What are we going to do with that knowledge? Simeon believed. Those that walked with Christ and His disciples, and they saw and believed. We aren't going to see the person of Christ, but we can see Him in this book. We have the knowledge right here. What's our response going to be? Belief or rejection? Putting myself down and realizing that I'm nothing without Christ and living as a Christian that way, living in a based life, that's following Christ. That's living in the knowledge of the Lord. And then I'll close with just, I know I said that was one more verse, but I do have one more. This one has kind of stood out to me over the past few weeks. I've read it probably three or four or five times, several times a day sometimes. Hebrews chapter 10. I know this doesn't really seem like it goes with it, but listen to this verse. Because we're talking about the opportunity to believe. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come, he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by what? Faith. We've got the knowledge, and the Holy Spirit's been shining the light of this person of Christ, and we've got the knowledge that God commanded the light to shine in this dark world. But the just live by belief in that light, belief in that knowledge, belief in that person, Jesus Christ. And it says, if any man draw back, do we draw back from our belief in God like Israel did? They didn't enter the land because of unbelief. Do we draw back? Do we come to a point in our life where we say, well, Lord, I've heard about the knowledge of God, and I heard it all the way in my life in Sunday school, and I grew up with it in church and at the Christian school and all these things, but you know what? I don't want any of that. I'm going to draw back. My soul has no pleasure in Him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the what? Saving of the soul. This is life and death. This isn't some little fly-by-night, oh, whatever, we can cute little baby there, Jesus came, and it's just such a wonderful story. It is, but this is life and death. To those who believe, to the saving of the soul. Cast not away your confidence, Christian. You have hope in God's Word tonight? Don't draw back. Yet a little while, he that tarries, he's not going to tarry any longer. And he's going to come. Do we believe in that? Is that our confidence? Is that our hope tonight? Simeon saw it in a little infant. And he prophesied that God would take that light through the Holy Spirit and propagate it throughout the world. And we've been privileged here, 2,000 years later, to be able to read the knowledge of Christ. He's right here. We haven't seen him physically, but we can have the knowledge through the light and believe. Let's make that our message. Let's make that our hope at this time of the year. Cast not away our confidence, not draw back, and continue on believing in the things of the Lord. Father, thank you for this time tonight around your word, around these good carols, good music, and with people that love the Lord. Thank you for all of us here at Grace Bible tonight, and we just ask that you would richly bless each one of our families during this time. But Lord, help us to keep preeminent focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of salvation, the one who we believe in, the knowledge of whom is revealed in the Scriptures. Thank you, Father, that it was a light to the Gentiles, and that that were far away, that were strangers, can be made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord, so much for all that you've done. Bless this time and the rest of our evening, the food and meal to follow. But we love you and give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.
We want to sing one more time before we conclude our service tonight. This is a song that Pastor Watt has made us aware of. He's sung it over the years a few times. It's in our hymn book, but it has a tremendous message. The title of it is Wonderful Birth. Wonderful birth, to a manger he came, made in the likeness of man to proclaim God's boundless love for a world sick with sin, pleading with sinners to let him come in. Wonderful name he bears, wonderful crown he wears, wonderful blessings his triumphs afford, wonderful Calvary, wonderful grace for me, wonderful love of my wonderful Lord. Let's sing together this, the first stanza of Wonderful Birth. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together to worship thy precious and holy name, to reflect upon your coming to this earth, our wonderful Lord. We thank you, Father, that in thee are found forgiveness of sin, in thee is found deliverance from sin, in thee is found a home in heaven for all eternity, in the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, may we during this season of the year rejoice in the first coming, knowing that you're coming again to receive us unto yourself, that we will be with thee forever and ever. Father, we ask your blessing upon the food that we're about to partake of. We thank all those who brought in food tonight. We thank you for the bounty that you provided to us all. And we give you glory and praise, for you alone are worthy, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.